It's recording now. Welcome to Crippled System, episode 247. My name is Andy, and I messed up the start.
And I'm Dan.
I dropped my mic.
And I'm Dave.
And I'm Johnny Pastrami, and I play Guild Ball for the most part, and War Machine every once in a while.
We don't talk about that game.
Yeah.
What? Yes, we do.
No, we don't talk about that game.
Not on this podcast.
I mean, it's not on this podcast.
Well, I play it. What do you want from me?
Stop it.
But you play it too, don't you?
I do not.
What?
I don't play that game.
You were just at a tournament of the yesterday, playing four games at the minimum.
False news.
I love that that's not even like the right way, and like not even what he says.
So, Andy, Guild Ball or Gwent, which do you want to talk about less?
Gwent.
No Gwent tonight, baby.
Fucking A. Nothing. Like, I need an hour-long recording of Nathan talking about Gwent.
To so, get out of the system?
So I can have something to put me to sleep.
So it's all in one continuous hour, so we can put that on the podcast and just delete it.
Does that mean?
No. Well, Nathan's not here, so and I haven't talked to Nathan like in 4 weeks.
I haven't seen him since Judgment Day.
Oh, you haven't? No.
At all. I missed that guy.
We didn't do the introductions correct. I'm Dave, and I play Retribution, I think.
No, you don't. You play Legion. You just said you play Legion.
Andy, much has changed in the last month.
in the last like 30 seconds.
Hey, he was talking about Legion when he like came in today.
Okay, so there's a difference here, is that I play Retribution because I've got Retribution models assembled. I want to play Legion, but I haven't gotten down to sit down and glue myself together.
Well, you could always get Andy to assemble for you. I'll do it for beer.
Okay. What kind of beer?
Good stuff.
Okay.
He wants Nuglaris. That's pretty much what that translates to.
Yeah.
A couple of growlers from the Great Dane.
No.
You don't like the Great Dane?
No. I was hold on. Here's where the Great Dane went bad for me. So I went to the Great Dane, and you know, I didn't really realize that they're just specifically their own brewery. So they don't really have any other beers in there other than, you know, like the shit beers like Miller or, you know, Bud Light or shit like that. So I'm like, I really wanted a Spotted Cow, and they're like, oh, don't have Spotted Cow.
But did you get a Crop Circle? Crop
Circle's like, really good. They're like, you can have one of this. It's very similar to a Spotted Cow. And it was not a very similar to a Spotted Cow because it was a wheat ale.
Yeah, that's the Crop Circle. It's really good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No,
close.
It was not close to Spotted Cow. Oh, it's really good. It was blah. Uh-oh. I should double check on something.
And here's the next Madison event. I would like to know because I wanted to go to the lacrosse event yesterday, but it's out of the range that I like to drive by myself. Because if I'm driving with other people and we can bullshit the whole way, that's part of the event.
You could have rode with us. We went to the lacrosse event yesterday.
I posted more in asking our car, about it.
You should just message me, dude. It would have been fine.
We had enough room.
Well, I
could have fit another one in the car.
Yeah. And Travis, the answer is we don't know yet. As usual, Labor Day has screwed up our planning schedule.
Yeah.
Is there still like part six of whatever?
I don't know. I know Nick and Rick were talking about event.
I could run an event.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know what Pegasus events availability now. Is. I don't know. Yeah. And knowing our luck, it's probably another Magic pre-release month or something.
Blech.
Yeah. I know that just came out recently, so I don't think it'll be too bad.
I don't know. Every time we get into we need to schedule an event quickly, it's like, it's a Magic pre-release event, so wipe off 2 weekends.
Or Star Wars RPG.
Yeah.
Or Steve-O's Painting Day.
Or it turns out we're just all bad at planning.
Yeah. That's pretty much the case. Yeah. That's what I said on the last podcast.
Pretty much.
I haven't gone for a while.
You have?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for all the folks out there.
All like three of them.
Hey, yeah, I know. I listen to this podcast every week pretty religiously.
You are correct. All two of them. we have one of our three listeners here.
You and Pip. That's fair. I thought it was very sweet, the folks that you know, I actually had messages from folks saying, you know, hey, where's my Crippled System? I can't have it. When I posted that we were going on vacation, there was a pretty decent response. It was like better than what we normally get when we post that we're going to do a podcast. So it's nice to hear that we actually have folks listening to us after 6 years of this. Oh, not six. Almost 6 years of this shenanigans. So Yeah.
I always really appreciate the feedback from the community and the random people I've run into at cons and stuff. It's like, oh, I like you on Crispled System. And it's like somebody, it's like somebody that listens that I don't already know personally. I didn't think those people existed. But apparently you do, and thank you.
Yeah, we used to get a lot of stuff shipped to us, too, which is awesome.
Andy wants more stuff.
Yeah, I like stuff. I need more Cheds. If you're in Australia and you want to be my best friend, then send me some Cheds.
Yeah, clearly also what we need is more mini crate boxes, because if we get enough, we can pile it high enough so that people watching the podcast don't actually have to see us.
Fuck, I have one more mini crate in the car.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of which, are you going to sign up for the Legend of Five Rings mini crates just so you get an extra box every month?
No.
So
no, that game.
Speaking of that,
I missed the boat completely. And Legend of the L5R, mm-hmm. I completely missed the boat on that. So I never got into the card game. Mm-hmm. The last year at Gen Con, when everybody in the world was waiting in line at Fantasy Flight to get the copy of the fucking game. I was not. I had nothing to do with that. I have no desire to.
I have played the card game once, and I was in a campaign of the role-playing game. The role-playing game was pretty cool. Mm. I had one of those moments where my dice just... I mean, it's an exploding die system, and I rolled like on D10s. I rolled like 0, 0, 0, and then picked them up and then rolled 0, 0, 0 again, and kept going like that. And I was rolling to compose a haiku on the spot to distract someone. The GM looks at this and counts up and is like, okay, so what was your total roll? And it's like, well, you needed like a 30 and you just rolled, 144? It's like, okay, you start reciting the haiku you just came up with. Time stops. So it was a fun campaign. And the big question, though, is that I had when I saw this, is L5R is an established property. Mm-hmm. Privateer Press is an established miniatures gaming company. Mm-hmm. Does this mean there's going to be an L5R, that there might be an L5R tabletop game?
They might be. Cool. They might be testing the waters with this.
Because that was honestly the first thing I thought of is like, wait a second, why are they doing one-offs for another existing property?
Well, I mean, the one wrench in that is L5R was Matt Wilson's first job. He did 2/3 of the art for it, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the other tie-in to it.
Who owns L5R these days, anyway?
It used to be like a Wizards property, and then... Fantasy Flight.
Fantasy Flight might just own it outright now.
They might have bought it? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Asmodee is hoovering up everything that's not Hasbro or Games Workshop.
Sure.
So that's the scary conspiracy theory side of this, is that
they're going to
Asmodee
buy
is courting PP itself.
Yeah.
I mean, Asmodee really hasn't affected anything other than distribution.
Correct.
For games.
When you live in a city with an ACD warehouse, having your... primary miniature game bought by a company that only works with Alliance.
Correct. That's rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that Privateer does a lot of business with ACD, so.
Correct.
Yeah. And ACD does a lot of business with us indirectly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much most of the stuff I buy is really coming from ACD.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I enjoy being able to place an order, a peg, and then pick up the same day.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, that's nice. That's good customer service. Mm-hmm. I enjoy looking like most of the staff there.
Yeah, except for this week. Because unfortunately, ACD flooded.
Yeah, yeah. So I missed it all. I was over in Seattle and Oregon for the last 2.5 weeks. And during last week, Madison flooded.
Well, half the isthmus is still closed down.
Correct. Yeah. Well, so there was two parts of it. Part one was the west side of Madison and a little bit west of Madison. We got a foot of rain in 6 hours.
Yep.
So, you know, that went from, you know, like, I was lucky. I apparently live on a high spot in Middleton, so I had no water damage and just lost power for a few hours. To I know a few people whose entire basements flooded, like, a foot above the basement line. So,
ooh, yeah, that's rough.
You know, which leads to the question of what do you do with 9 feet of water?
Well, you make a pool. You shock it with a bunch of chlorine, and you know, you
pretty much
then make a pool.
But anyway, so that's phase one, is, you know, a lot of flood damage on the west side of town, and now it's all flowing into the lakes, and now the isthmus is into problems because the lakes are
the drainage rivers from
eight inches above crest state, because they were already full.
Yeah.
And then all of this is flooded in, so they've had to do some creative things to keep it from breaking dams.
That, yeah, there's, I think it was on Friday when I was flying in, they were talking about if we got a ton more rain, that it would have probably caused some of those dams over by the isthmus to fail.
Correct. Or if the storm cell had shifted like 5 miles east, then Monday night the isthmus would have flooded because Monona would have just overstepped its bounds, basically. Mm. So, as opposed to taking a few days and giving people some time.
Yeah, but I think right now the problem is the Yahara River is in flood stage right now. And the Yahara River, which you have never heard of if you don't live in Madison, because it is a tiny little river that exists between two lakes in Madison, inside Madison. But as it turns out, it crosses the two major roads for downtown Madison. They're both closed down because the Yahara is flooded.
Yeah. The like when I drive to work, there's like a little, there's a golf course over there, over by PD&M. And there's just like a little, it was a pond, and now it is a pretty large, sizable lake over there.
Yes, it is.
It's almost up to the roadway, which it definitely should not be.
Yes.
It was fun this evening checking to make sure that route was actually open.
Yeah, yeah. I've known in the past when we've gotten a lot of heavy rain, that whole road to PD to Mineral Point is, or not M to Mineral Point, is usually flooded out somewhere along there.
Yep.
So I got two mystery boxes.
You're gonna open them?
I can open it.
Yeah.
I'll go downstairs and get it because I forgot to bring it up.
But you've already opened those, I thought.
Shush you.
Sorry. Yes, he's never opened those before. This is totally new experience.
He's not already tried the trading them.
No. There's not any posts online. Yeah, he's kind of salty about the two he got, but that's okay.
I'm shocked. I've actually been able to hold off buying a mystery box so far. Like, PP is even trying to tempt me. They sent me a 20% off one item coupon.
Jeez. I'm like, ugh. I was tempted too, but I have too much stuff. And
oh, yeah. I'm already trying to sell three factions worth of stuff.
I've got a friend that wants to, I think, buy two. We should go to a group order in and buy five.
Yeah, I'll probably do it.
That'd probably be a good way to, like, hedge your bets if people are looking for specific factions.
That's true.
So...
worst case scenario, I throw it in the community prize box. So.
Perfect.
I am saddened that my mystery box did not come in a box with a giant question mark on it.
It should have.
Yeah. It came from like the Riddler.
What do you think this is? A loot crate?
I wanted to. Yeah. Seriously, that's what
or,
I.
Or sorry.
Mini crate.
Mini. No, I'm thinking the Overwatch boxes.
Oh, what they come? They come in the actual loot boxes?
No, like in-game.
But then aren't they supposed to, like, but then you would be disappointed that it didn't glow and make a noise when you opened it.
There are many levels to disappointment.
Yeah. You even retaped your box and everything? That's so cute. I mean, sorry, he didn't retape it.
No, I didn't retape. Seriously, I did not retape. All right. Let's see what we got here. Ah, I got Signar and Krix. Anybody want to trade some Signar and Krix? I really wanted to have...
But Andy, Stormguard, they're...
They're Stormguard, which I already have a unit of them, I think, already from Company of Iron. Isn't that what came with Company of Iron?
No, those are Stormbloods.
Oh, so I actually have... Yeah. So I got the plastic kit for Signar for the Colossal... And yep, that's it. And Reliant and Stormclad, which is kind of cool. The Battle Box for Signar, which I have already. I got more chickens, Ripjaws and Night Wretches, and I got a Corruptor.
So the real question is, what can you use Stormguard to proxy as?
So that's the hard plastic one.
It's a hard plastic one with Malice?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I didn't know Malice actually got made into...
That one's new as of, like, April or May.
Nice.
Huh. Well, that actually looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's cool. And then I got the Kraken and its Sepulcher. Did I pronounce that correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Because I always call it Sepulcher. Yeah. No, I was... So it was kind of annoying because this got shipped while I was on vacation. And it showed up 2 days after I left.
Perfect.
So I've been hoping this entire time that it would be a circle box. I wish I would have known what this was beforehand, because I might have been able to maybe trade somebody for a circle box before that. What the fuck? That's super heavy. Why is that heavy?
It's a lot of plastic.
Yeah.
Also, there's like dice and a mat and book and.
So, if anything, I will give somebody the entire contents of one of these boxes. Honestly, all I'm looking for Circle is a Storm Raptor and the Mist Riders. I don't care about anything else that's in the Circle box. I just need a Storm Raptor and Mist Riders.
I have an extra unit of those if you want to work out something else.
Are they assembled already?
Yeah.
Maybe. Are they painted?
I think they're primed. I got them in B-Town specials, so we'll see how it goes.
I will definitely have to look at them before.
They're in good condition. They're not like bad or whatever. They're primed. Like,
good or Bartertown good?
Yeah. Well, like decent, good, Bartertown, supreme, excellent quality.
Are we talking about thanks but no thanks assembly of steelheads?
No, they're not that bad. No, they're in like good shape. They're decent, so.
I'll be interested because, like I said, is the Circle box, any of the mystery boxes, the original ones, I didn't have a need for them. I was hoping it would be something maybe Kador because I could use something for Kador. I thought it would Protectorate, but then I heard that it was only 5 factions at the start.
You bought in too early.
I bought in too early. I almost bought perfectly early because they messed up originally and they were selling them for press ganger points when they first went into the store. Shit. And I know some folks actually got them in and ordered. I had it in my shopping cart, and I didn't pull the trigger at the time. Otherwise, I would have got these for press ganger points. Well, somebody in chat is asking if I'd like to get a Zapdos.
No,
I would. I definitely want one. I can trade you a Colossal for it, or and a Colossal assembly by Andy for it.
So, if people are trading Colossals, I would like to get my hands on a couple of Adjudicators, but. That's neither here nor there.
No.
That High Reclaimer list is looking pretty spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
High Reclaimer creators might with...
Actually, people are playing it in Exemplar.
Yeah, I like the Exemplar version of it. Just because you get Blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yes! I've also seen the creators might version of it. So you get Tristan 1 running one of them, so he can fortify it.
No, and you want Sevi. It's all about that Sevi for that.
Well, you
plus
take
one.
Sevi too. You take Sevi as well.
Oh, that's a crazy version. I haven't seen that one then.
There are a couple people at the WTC who are running that.
Okay, I only saw Perrier's with the whatever.
You guys didn't need to stop talking. I was silently miming, no tapping.
I know that's what I was. I was feeling sufficient. I was feeling sufficiently scolded
for that.
Hyped
because
I.
You didn't need to go into dog mode.
But no,
stop it!
I'm very.
He's talking about War Machine, okay? Yeah, on the podcast. This is exciting.
We haven't.
I'm caught in the fever.
I mean, the math on that one is dumb.
It's not fair.
The
Adjudicator shouldn't be able to hit a Defense 15 model without boosting.
Yes, it should. That's totally reasonable.
No.
No, you're right. It should be able to hit 10 of them in a spray.
No.
Like, yeah, the double signs importance with Mark Target and Sevi 1, the average roll is like...
It's like almost a 10,
a
right?
Yeah.
Well, not even like boosted.
Well,
isn't it like
the 10, average right? roll double signs important is like an almost... Yeah, it's like a 9.75.
Yeah,
or
it's straw.
Like that.
Yeah.
And then you add an additional +3 to it.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
It's totally reasonable.
And doesn't Preyers have a Reckoner in it too?
No, it was just like the two.
Or
then he had like a full unit of Exemplars.
Let me see. We can look this up because there's this website called Conflict Chamber.
Never heard
what?
Of it. Never heard
what?
Of
where
it.
Is that from?
That has all that of the new? Lists from the World Team Championship set up on it.
What? Never heard of it. World Team Championship.
What's
did
that?
Did they steal that from the WITC?
They must
they
have.
Might have.
Sure, we'll go with that. I didn't completely copy paste that first year for the rules packet, including a typo.
Nah, yeah, don't worry about it.
Yay, I got some guard.
Mm-hmm.
I got mom pack stuff, so I'm gonna be over here looking at this.
Okay.
You guys do whatever you want to do.
We've already turned off Andy. Just the mention of High Reclaimer, perfect.
Yeah. I got Chompers, Destructomites, and Explodohawks.
Andy, can I move the pink thing so I can actually see the screen?
What? There's people chatting.
I've already got two Zapdos.
Yep.
All right. Well, you have to. Somebody should jot them down because we can't scroll back that far in chat sometimes.
That sounds like
Okay. So yeah, the person that I saw post the Nick had posted that he had made a PG points one. They haven't shipped it yet. Hey, they should honor it. They left it in there. That's a mistake. Oh, there's Rennie.
Oh, that's Nathan's.
I want to put this back up there now.
You can put it back up. The other one was fine. I just wanted to be able to see the left side of the screen for so I could have some idea of the chat stuff.
Yeah, move all the loot crate things. Nobody wants to see those.
I want to see them.
More precisely, Andy doesn't want to be seen because of them.
Well, they can see me perfectly right here.
So. Yeah, he's got a for now spot. Yeah,
yeah. I just want to put Mompok shit up because Mompok is the bomb.
Yeah, Per Year is running it in EI with one on High Reclaimer and one on Sevi Zero. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then has the errants with the officer and standard.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy that they changed their dice so to they're actually normal dice now, because the original version of Mompok, there were white paint onto normal dice, and that white paint would just rub right off.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Then you can use like lead-based paint to like replace that and have perfect dice.
And then chew on it, because it tastes great.
Yeah. So Andy, Nick wants you to lean into the mic to breathe.
Oh, really?
I'm helping.
Sorry about that. I've been trying to talk louder when I'm away from the mic, but I'm excited. I got toys. I got Travis to buy me this stuff at Gen Con. And
then you left the state.
And then I left the state.
And then I had to mule it all for you.
Yeah.
And I'm unashamedly throwing the guilt on you because I need you to build a bunch of shit for me.
Is this Alice?
That's your Sylvestro.
My Sylvestro?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, that is not Alice.
Correct. I just grabbed the first blister that I had on my pile of open blisters.
So. It appears my Mompok box has been dented, sir.
It came that way.
Yeah. Travis, my Mompok box has been dented. And it's the better ones because that is the... Is it the Destroyers?
Yeah, clearly.
Either that or I blame Nick's car. So
that's probably it. It's probably true.
Yeah, the Prius hates Planet Destroyers. It actually worked out better than I thought it would.
Yeah, Prius doesn't like Planet Destroyers.
Mm-hmm. It's like Andy on Christmas.
It is just Andy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on Christmas.
Perpetual Andy Christmas.
Is everybody just going to watch Andy open up his box?
They have whole YouTube channels that are dedicated to unboxing stuff who get more viewers than we do. So this is probably an upgrade.
Probably.
Just need to tag it as this. Yeah.
This is blister pack tape shut.
Yeah, they've been doing that lately.
They don't want all your crap to fly all over the box. They're being thoughtful.
They have self-locking blister packs.
They must not be strong enough. There's all kinds of heavy metal stuff flying around in there.
It is all resin.
Heavy resin stuff flying around in there. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they probably have to seal it up because like it's some obscure California law because it causes cancer.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only in California, though.
Correct.
Yeah. Only in California does any of these products cause cancer.
So they're safe here? So just...
They're just fine.
Just snort them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arctic Circle has the clear idea here, though, is that only do the audio of unboxing, no video. So we can do an audio-only podcast of unboxing. Just it's perfect. Like, God damn it.
This opening is like, wow, this looks awesome.
Well, because this is how we can do with the production values is we just record one of them, and then since it's only audio, we just repeat it for like 20 different products and claim that it's the audio unboxing of all of them.
Yeah, just re-release.
This is amazing. Insert product here.
Yeah, and I can just remix it too. You know, just change different parts of the audio.
I mean, that sounds like more work than actually getting us to show up so you can open something new.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyways, you guys went to Lacrosse. How was it?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was like pretty cool. It was like a small con, right? It was, I don't know how many people showed up, maybe like 300, 400 for everything?
No, it's still pretty good for Lacrosse.
I think the War Machine event had like 11 or 12. I think that sounds right. And the Guild Ball had 14, so.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
All right, Gorgadra is not going back in here now.
Well, actually, that's pretty good because Madison had GeekCon this weekend, too. So,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, and that's a lot more general.
Sure.
But still, I mean, that probably, depending on what kind of stuff they had, that probably drew some people away from it as well.
It was, like, mostly board gaming. They also had, like, this cool little, like, video game thing going on, too, and they had, like, a big Smash tournament going. I don't know how big it was. We got there early before the actual tournament happened, but saw people playing Smash, so that was cool.
Oh, that came out
17 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it was the original version.
Melee. Yeah,
I was gonna say there's a Switch version that came out soon.
It's coming out soon.
That's what Nintendo is banking all their efforts on, when they don't realize that a third party game is gonna cause more Switch purchases than anything, and that's gonna be Diablo. Yeah,
Diablo. Which version?
Three. Diablo 3.
Yeah. Oh,
all of the currently released content is coming, and
it's going to be portable, Nate.
Yeah.
David, sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to call you Nate.
I mean, Nate will be playing it.
Yeah. He's going to buy probably a couple versions of it, because he's going to end up buying another Switch, too. Yeah. I got buildings. I'm going to assemble a building.
Okay.
Weren't you guys talking about War Machine, or are you just watching me open shit up?
Yes.
We talked about one of the many silly WTC lists.
Yeah. So, High Reclaimer Adjudicator is a thing now. The WTC has thus ordained that High Reclaimer Adjudicator is a thing. The other thing that is a thing that we kind of already knew was, but have just gotten amazing verification of, is Gatsby 3 Slayers is really a thing.
Wait, yeah. Wasn't that popular before?
No, it wasn't.
Not to this level.
Not to this level. But the thing is, though, you looked at the how much stats had gone up. So there's a big discrepancy about how many Crix players there are.
Mm.
But when you compare it to stats from last year, it's only a 20% rise.
It's not too crazy, though.
There's a ton of people that had Crix last year, but
It is also remarkable that the Slayer is the single most common model at the World Team Championship.
That's impressive.
239 of them.
Yes.
Wow.
Somebody's got a different number.
Well, some people also run them with Denny too. Uh-huh. And there are a couple of there are a couple of other weird lists as well. I think somebody's running them with Scar 1
And there's a few people are playing variant Gatsby 3 builds that don't have 9. Like there's a person who's playing 3 of them with Defjack and 2 Reapers or something like that. But Jake was bored one night because none of us could leave the house because it was raining, and did some math, and 82% of those Slayers are of Gatsby 3. Yeah. So.
That's a good chunk.
Yeah. I mean, Denny, there's a Denny 2 build that has 4 Slayers. That's, correct. That's pretty common.
Yeah, Deathjack and 4 Slayers and a few other things. That was the variant I was playing.
Yeah, and that build doesn't, to my mind at least, it's not as fixed on the number of Slayers, because Gatsby 3 wants exactly 9 Slayers every time you put it on the table.
Well, it's because Gatsby does not get any benefit whatsoever out of Deathjack.
Mm-hmm.
All his stuff is raw force multiplication, and so you want more of them, as opposed to Denny, who actually, one, has spells that are worth casting, and two, has a fixed number of things she can make better, as opposed to raw multiplication,
which
is why taking premium jacks of her is actually worth it. So,
yeah, and because, I mean, realistically, most of what she wants to do with the Slayers is make them incorporeal for one turn and cause the other guy to tilt.
Correct.
Whereas Gatsby wants to run everything forward screaming and cause the player to tilt that way.
Either way, it's the faction to tilt.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the commentary, because I've been bored this week, so I've been listening to multiple WTC faction review podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been several people who have made comments about how Crix might be OP now because they're getting too broad and they're angry that they can no longer have a single Crix answer list.
That was a fair estimate. That's why I think they're so prolific in the WTC this year, is just because they have so many options. They have like 5 actual viable theme lists.
I've even proven that Infernal Machines is actually good in limited scenarios. But you know, like if more people start playing Rocketman, that I might have to drag out my Terminus All the Bile Thralls list again.
Sure. Well, but also, at the same time, I mean, when what people say when they mean a Crick's List, isn't that doesn't mean the same thing it did in Mark II, because there are so many different ways to play Crick's.
Correct.
And honestly, if you have a list that counters Gatsby 3, you also have a list that counters most Harkovich builds, that counters Amon builds, that counters Karchev builds.
Heavy armor.
Correct. Yeah. It even it probably actually even does decent into Armored Core in general.
Yeah, it will probably do decent into Armored Core, decent into Primal Terrors. Mm-hmm. But it's just there isn't one that you can't have a Crick's drop anymore, because there isn't one Crick's build, because there isn't one style of game that Crick's does that's better than anyone else. Yeah. And
well, I think that was part of the thing they were complaining about is. In this particular case, the most loud proponent of this was someone who I know was a person who in Mark II really enjoyed solving the game at list construction, if not list choice, as opposed to actually playing it.
Yeah,
sure.
So, and, you know, it's coming back to something that we've seen kind of crop up more and more in Mark III, that, you know, game solutions at list design or list choice are becoming harder and harder to come by.
Yeah, that was one of the things I observed at the beginning of Mark III, is that we lost a number of the competitive players that were really into winning. When suddenly it came to the situation that in early Mark III, and especially when the themes came out, that there were so many good things that you could no longer anticipate everything with one list, and you would have to admit some vulnerabilities to your pairings and shock. You would have to expect to outplay your opponent on the table to win events. And I know a lot of people were very frustrated that they could no longer drop into every matchup advantaged because of the broader variety of playable lists.
Never mind that that's actually bad for a game when you can have factions having advantaged matchups into everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, even with the current pseudo dominance for Crick's, because when we look at the most competitive event and less than a quarter of the people are playing Crick's, that's not terribly dominant. Realistically, I mean, this is indicative. I mean,
yeah, there's still teams without Crick's players.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's a highly competitive, but it's team tournament. Mentality is different than
and
also
solo tournament.
The WTC is actually surprisingly conservative for list innovation, because I've heard a lot of people say that they feel that there's some sense of national pride saying you need to take something that's going to work and not, you know, let me go experiment and try and catch people off guard.
I mean, the proportion of Crick's we're seeing is indicative of like a 10% advantage on the tabletop, because it's just that at that level of competition, when people are taking the strongest stuff, if Crick's were dominant in every single matchup and in every game, everybody would play Crick's, or at least you would see 40 to 50%.
We don't see two all Crick's teams this year, for instance.
Yeah. See, that was like the thing of the past where it was kind of fun, but...
Yeah.
It would have been more interesting had they not nerfed Denny 2 a week after list lock for that one.
Sure.
It's also the same thing, too, where even though people have the list being run isn't... It has to be run correctly.
Correct.
In order for it to win.
Heath has said that the Gatsby 3 Slayers build, while a steamroller, is still significantly harder to play than like his Gatsby 2 list in Mark 2 was.
Yeah, and
which is crazy, because that was like the most skill intensive lists around.
The way he played it was that way, but you could technically just rush forward, kill a bunch of shit, and then
press button.
Correct. I mean, yeah, that's the part. Is it had the Gatsby 2 Mark 2 build had a very, very low threshold, which was Did you trap your Arc Node? No. Did you trap Gatsby? No. Did you trap your Bile Thrall Leader? No. If you answer no to all those questions, your opponent no longer has infantry.
Yeah. I mean, and there is nothing in the game, and there has been nothing in the game since the Mark III switchover that compares to Mark II, Gatsby II.
I know.
Hmm?
I know.
You seem sad.
It's a better spot, but I still can be sad.
I mean, we had
I think we had glimpses of that. Ghost Fleet hit pretty hard.
Well,
Ghost Fleet
was pretty dominant. Madrak 2, for instance, at first.
At the start, correct. He was good.
Well, but
more tellingly, they have not had something like that release since CID started.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
Which is great for the balance,
the most powerful thing I think that has been in Mark 3 was Una 2.
Yes,
she was pretty impressive.
I think, officially admitted that was a mistake.
I would hope so.
word and indeed, they have admitted that that one was a mistake.
Yeah. To invalidate one of your awesome foil cards immediately.
But yeah, they have not had anything particularly close to old school Gatsby 2, which I think is great for the game.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's the other thing is that Nine Slayers is not easy to play. But a lot of the top lists right now are not easy to play. Like Kaylee 3 is very difficult to play, especially if you're on a clock.
Correct. I think so. Nick took that and played it 3 of the 4 rounds at the Milwaukee tournament 2 weeks ago, and I think his 3 Haley 3 games had a combined total of 10 minutes left on the clock.
Yeah,
perfect. Yeah.
Also,
win all of them though?
No.
Oh, geez,
The game against me, he lost because we were both under 5 minutes, and he dominated a jack back into my control range instead of out of my control range.
No.
And then I threw something at Haley, knocked her down, and one shot her with a Liberator shot or a Vindicator shot.
Also, just a hint: if you're playing into Haley 3, if the person is not playing blindingly fast, if you assassinate Anson Hitch, the guy that gives everyone tactician,
and the dog,
you will win on clock if you kill Hitch 90% of the time, because you get a Haley 3 player and suddenly they can't move their models through other models and they have 500 models on the table in a limited amount of time, they're going to lose.
All right, yeah, so I teleport a guardian in there and I have him smash through the line and kill him.
Okay. Yeah, you just go for Hitch.
I might actually think that might actually be a worthwhile trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would trade a heavy for Hitch in most matchups because it makes their list so much harder to play. But yeah, I'm also one of the things I think is interesting is right now that it's good for the game is that most of the really good lists are hard to play. And I think this is also one of the things is because in the near future, probably shortly after the WTC, Gorshade 4 is going to go live. And I think he's going to be one of the best casters in the game. But he's also extremely difficult to play.
Well, it's interesting because, we're seeing a complete reshuffling of, power levels and factions and players and stuff just because we're seeing people who can actually adapt and play their way out of matchups in the tables and stuff like that, which is cool to see.
Yep.
Oh, what do you got over there, Andy?
A Cthugrash.
A Brugrash.
Well, it's Cthugrash is the... It's the proxy model. It's the brew model from the Ram this year. It's...
Is he drinking a brewery?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just got a, like one of those water towers. That's, he's awesome. He looks awesome. I was on a long vacation.
I said, do you have any good stories from vacation?
If you saw my Facebook wall, I traveled 6 hours, starting at 3:30 in Madison, Wisconsin, over to Atlanta.
Okay, good. I was for a second, I was afraid that this was gonna be. I left Madison in 6 hours and got to Madison Hine Airport.
No, I left Madison at about, it was early morning, and I got into Atlanta because for some odd reason to get to Seattle, I had to fly to Atlanta, Georgia, from Madison.
Yeah, I mean that's how hubs work.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. It was the 6 hour flight from Atlanta over to Seattle, which was awesome. There was a very small child in.
It's good for you, Andy.
Yeah, she was actually doing great for that entire 6 hours. And then when we landed in Seattle, there was a fire in a cockpit somewhere at the airport. And so we sat on the tarmac for an extra hour. And right as the child landed, must have bit a lip or something. And the kid was just inconsolable for like the next 45 minutes. Of just pure, just scream. And I'm talking to two people here who have had kids and understand that sucks.
I mean, it does suck, but I also have no pity because I will never get those hours of sleep back. So,
no, I'm not asking for your pity, but understanding like, that there's nothing the parent could do to console that child. And
like the kind of screaming where eventually you as a parent just have to leave. Because they're not going to shut up, And you need to keep your mental health up in case they actually do hurt themselves. They,
yeah, yes. Many trips to the bathroom to try to, you know, try to quiet her down, but mm-hmm. yeah, it did not work. So there's like a 30-second clip of me on the plane just staring at my phone, and you just hear the kid in the background. Oh, I feel bad about mm-hmm. posting it, but at the same time, whatever. I didn't post the kid.
Correct. Yeah, you ordered it the right way.
Yeah. And it wasn't really that bad. It was
I mean, it can't be any worse than the movie you and Nathan are pain training.
Ah, the Happy Time? Yeah.
What showing is this?
The Happy Time Murders?
No, what showing?
Tuesday night.
What time?
$5 night, whatever, 7, 9, or something like that. Okay. It's going to be one of the two.
Yeah, I saw Nathan post that, and my first response was, I'm really happy I have to go to Chicago for work this week.
Yeah, but it's Brian Henson. Can't be that bad. I mean, Brian Henson helped, you know, he was born into it.
See, this movie is going to be absolutely terrible because I saw the trailer.
Fine with the... Oh, I can't even get that one right. I know enough about it.
I saw the trailer and there was nothing funny in the trailer for comedy.
Mean, Happy Tree Friends hasn't been funny since 2004.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I mean, the Angry Birds movie, there were funny jokes in the trailer, and so this is worse. This has a worse trailer than the Angry Birds movie. The trailer is that they're trying to sell it, so they put the funniest part in there, and they couldn't find anything funny in the whole movie.
Farting bird in the water thing.
There was the bird peeing in the bird peeing in the water.
Oh, it was peeing in the water. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean the Happy Whatever Murders. But I mean, they were trying for like a hard R.
They started in '99. That was actually even like a legitimate statement.
Huh? No, I was agreeing with you that Happy Tree Friends was around then because that was they were running it off of Flash back. Well, be whatever it was before then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's going to be fine.
Arctic Circle says, "What do you mean the mistaking someone for a guy wasn't funny or saying yeah?" Was that the joke? I wasn't even sure what the joke was.
For what?
The thing in the trailer that it's like that we had the puppet prostitutes were propositioning what's her name?
Oh.
And was that the joke that they mistook her for a guy or was the joke that they didn't understand the gender of humans because they're non-human creatures? I honestly do not know what the joke there was. That's how bad it was.
I'll tell you what the joke is. Yeah. The joke is that there's prostitute Muppets. That's probably the joke there is that there's prostitute Muppets.
I mean, the joke is that you guys are going to pay $5 each for this.
I don't care. I've paid for worse. I've paid for prostitute Muppets. I don't know.
I mean, do you really want that recorded, Andy?
Man, already has been.
That statement will come back to haunt you at some point if I ever feel like doing some audio editing.
The one thing that I don't like about that trailer was it had to. It would have probably been funny in the movie if we didn't know it was coming up. But the whole frickin' jizz sequence.
It went on too long in the trailer.
Yeah. But it didn't need to be in the trailer. But if it would have been that in the movie, and it would have gone on that long in the movie, it would have probably been a great part of the movie. It would have probably been entertaining. But the fact that we know that it's coming. But the fact that we know that it's in the film, I don't think it's gonna fall like a lead balloon.
Yeah,
I know that they do fly. I've seen the Mythbusters.
Yes.
What?
I'm reading the box office numbers from this weekend.
Oh yeah,
I'm guessing it made a strong showing. Yeah,
it did not do well this weekend. In fact, it may not be in the theaters by the time Nathan and I see it on Tuesday.
I don't think they're going to pull it that quick, but it only made $10
million. What was the budget?
Arctic Circle. I think it's the Red Band trailer.
It's in the Red Band. It's in the Red Band trailer. There is a Muppet that is ejaculating silly string for like 2 minutes.
Million? Which what it was made for?
That was the budget, million. Or
that
is
was
that
the
what
budget?
And how much did he make back of that?
Ten.
$10 million?
Yeah,
I was. Thinking like 10,000.
I bet you overseas it's probably going to make a decent amount. Overseas.
It'll probably make back.
Some country out there loves Muppets. Wrongly. I would think, I like how I didn't say that what country it was that loves the Muppets that way.
That's good.
I was going to say, what country is it going to be?
No, and, I'm not going to say. We don't want to. I'm not going to say. I want Cheds.
I'm going to say we're not going.
Specifically that country.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to say just in the off chance that we've got somebody from there listening and we don't want to offend them.
What else happened over the weekend? I got annoyed by some Oregon driving laws. Or not Oregon driving laws, but just people that do
it. Were you angry that you couldn't pump your own
gas? Yeah, that's one of the places where you can't pump your
own gas. Pump your own gas is the worst. Oh, my God. My mom, like, I went out and treated my mom. I don't think I ever mentioned this. My mom just got over breast cancer, and she's fully clean and everything there. So that's basically what my trip was. I was going out there to treat my mom for like 2 weeks. I just gave her, bought her food and everything. She's probably really angry at me because I fed her a whole bunch of stuff that she's not supposed
to
eat.
You gave her bar food? Cheese curds?
No, there's no cheese curds in Oregon.
What?
What?
There's no cheese in Oregon.
Yeah, I did.
Have you tried eating?
Is it all just like avocado toast or what?
Have you
what?
Eaten cheese on the West Coast?
It's not good.
It's bad.
No. No.
I haven't smelled that.
People in California are fucking lying to you.
Well, no. I mean, they ship all their cheese out to the Midwest for to try and undercut our market. They don't sell any of it back there.
Yeah.
Cheese is bad for you.
Yeah, so...
What? So entire diet's like 30% cheese.
I don't know if this is a law at all, but it annoyed the fuck out of me. So if you have a two-lane, or just a back-and-forth highway like this, okay, and then you have a turn lane that's in the center.
Sure.
That is a turn lane, correct? Yep. That is not a, I'm going to drive into that lane and then merge into the other lane.
They were using it as a passing lane?
No, they were using it as basically somebody was coming onto the highway. They would turn into the turn lane and then merge into the traffic lane that they're supposed to be going into.
Oh, I've seen idiots do that all over the place.
Yeah. I've seen it happen all the time, too, but I thought that that's not supposed to be. It's illegal.
I mean, not supposed to be and done on the roads at all times are two, you know, different but synonymous concepts.
Arctic Circle says cheese curds are a very regional thing. They have been, but now Culver's is in most states now.
No.
It's in several states. Yeah. It's
California. It's in a lot of states. There's like only two in Arizona.
They're on both coasts. They're on both coasts.
They're not. There's none in Oregon because I tried taking my mom to it.
There are some in California though. Yeah. But yes, and they are the cultural champion of cheese curds around the world. And because if you're listening out here and you've been to Culver's and you've had cheese curds, Culver's has shitty cheese curds. We have good cheese curds in Madison.
Yeah, but I mean, if you are living in a place that you can't get cheese curds, Culver's is the place to get them. Yeah.
Correct.
And also, we have to convince people because I used to live in New York and they had cheese curds as a delicacy there, but they apparently never figured out how to deep fry them, and that's the point.
I mean, that's like a Midwest and Texas thing, though.
Yeah, we deep fat fry everything.
Yeah. I say we were at Good Neighbor Fest in Middleton this weekend, and they had just a vendor who was just like, yeah, we'll deep fry it. Yeah, throw it in.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
What else happened? I stayed out by Charles Foster's place he was kind enough to let me sleep on his couch for basically a week out in Seattle. And basically all we did is, so this is going to come up later for my recommendation. I bought an amazing game before my trip. I bought Dead Cells, and Dead Cells is a Metroidvania style game with, procedural dungeon creation, and it's a roguelike. So as you go through the game, you die. You can get souls in the game and use those to buy power-ups that you can use in your next playthrough. Game is fucking amazing. First, I played it on the plane trip all the way over there. I played it for like the first day when I was over at Charles's place. Charles got sick of me playing it, so then he bought it.
What system is it on? Oh, for Switch?
Yeah. It's out for everything.
Okay.
So he bought it for his Switch, and Charles's wife, Megan, got upset about us playing it, so she bought it for the PS4. So for like three days, we just all sat on the couch playing Dead Cells on each of our devices. Well, Megan played it on the television.
Okay.
And then we would swap out the recharge cord here and there, so we could recharge our systems. And then we'd go out for sushi. And it was a glorious time, and I cannot wait to do it again. I thank
those two so much for letting me stay there.
I'll have to pick that up, because the other thing I realized last week was that I pre-ordered several months ago in a fit of weakness. I pre-ordered the World of Warcraft expansion.
Yes,
and I've been playing it, and I feel dirty.
Yeah, our entire trip back home from lacrosse yesterday.
Yeah,
Johnny was asking me all the questions about the new stuff, and wow, and I've been going. Yeah.
I had the itch last Tuesday, and I decided to resist it.
I mean, so the flame just went down.
Yes, no, it was up. It was like it was peaked and interested, and I almost hit it, but I resisted. And he was trying yesterday.
Well, so what eye level are you up to?
Obviously I'm 120. I'm not that high, because okay. I couldn't really ignore my mother for too long when I was over there. So I couldn't really run dungeons, so I just ran quests in that.
And he's like, I haven't used these skills in 20 years.
To ignore my mother? Yeah. Sometimes I had to. I think I'm not up to 300 yet. I haven't been able to do heroics yet. So
no.
The main thing is because I've only done maybe 4 dungeons total. So it's fun.
It's fun. You get to the heroics and the mythics, and it's actually back to some of the earlier versions of the game, where there is more reward for group cooperation as opposed to just running in and AOEing everything down.
Yeah. I definitely noticed that for one of the bosses. I'm sorry if we're talking about WoW here, folks, but I definitely noticed that one of the bosses.
I mean, it's no Gwent.
Yeah,
exactly.
This is still 2 or 3 steps above Gwent.
It's a weird mechanic where he actually mind controls you, mm-hmm. and then you have to basically everyone has to do enough damage to you, but you actually have control of yourself during then.
Yeah, you have to walk over to bubbles so they don't kill everybody. Yeah, the bosses are neat, and it's just the trash encounters are more interesting and require a lot more cooperation than they have in the past.
Until at least when the first raid is released, and then all the trash will become trivial again.
I mean, Goeth. All of MMOs.
Yeah. Basically all of it. I mean, the first like 3 weeks is always my favorite time to really play the expansions. I'm in the process of gathering all my pets too, and running them through the machine so they're all level 25.
I was just looking at it now, and it's like I got to figure out how to get a cheap repair mount, or actually just the other thing I want is a water strider. But apparently, you have to grind a lot of faction reputation to get a water strider.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or you can get the Underbelly Angler and you can walk on water.
Yeah, because that was because I was switching the previous expansion. I played as Druid, but I mean, didn't really play a lot. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go over to a Paladin for this expansion. And then it's like, well, shit, now there are places everywhere where I want to be able to walk to have a travel mode that goes through water. Damn it.
There's mounts you can get too.
The Water Strider was what I wanted.
Not just on water, but there's the, it's actually pretty cheap now in the auction house, or at least I bought it for cheap. The Poseidon's Reins.
Oh, I've got one of those. But
yeah, you can use those anywhere.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
You have to be underwater, though.
Well, yeah, that's...
Yep. Sorry.
That's fine. No, that's fine. Like I said, I mean, I have been holding off because, you know, you guys play WoW. One of the coworkers on the new team I'm playing WoW and stuff like that. And, like, I'm surrounded by people. But, no, I'm clean this time.
No,
I'm going to try to resist, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could start up.
The problem,
how old is Liam?
The problem continues to be I do not have enough time to actually dedicate enough to get into the end game concept and content, and it's still at this point $60 is a lot for 3 weeks of enjoyment before I get frustrated because I hit the wall of idiots and alpha RNG again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I've only done that the last 4 expansions. The same, okay. So
I've not played since Cataclysm was the last time I played, mm-hmm. and I've been clean since then, so... Yeah.
Well, like I said, you know...
It's been good.
The random group finder is great until you get to the point in every expansion where you have to start going to a guild if you want the best stuff.
Sure.
And then all the competent people leave, and then the fucking DPSs start trying to tank, and then I get really frustrated.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, that was my strategy this time, was to get into the mythics and then just start picking groups that had people that were on the same server and try to find competent groups and say, hey, does your guild, can I get an invite to your guild because you are not a moron?
So yeah, so I might be biased just because I always play a tank, and
sure.
It turns out that every competent DPS person jumps into a guild at the first possible opportunity.
Well, that I play a tank as well, and
see, I normally play a healer.
See, I'm also a healer as well.
Yeah, I normally play a healer, which means that
part of a good mythic group here.
which means that basically in every group, I instantly know who is incompetent.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My favorite thing to do as a tank is to let the hunter pet die. That hunter pet has growl on it. Well, all right.
So, all right, have fun.
Nope. I'm just going to. In fact, I'm going to drink a soda.
Correct. Yeah. It was like, and I'm a paladin tank. It's like, the second time I'm not resident, you didn't learn your lesson.
Yeah.
Also, I'm still angry that the shield bounced like 3 expansions ago, but.
Nerf it how?
It doesn't bounce to that many
anymore.
Oh, it bounces to 4 now.
It used to bounce to like 10.
Oh. Well, that was because paladins, at the time, had a whole lot of
like the Gatsby 2 conversation from earlier. The game as a whole is better for it, but I'm still allowed to be angry.
That's fair.
Also, yeah. Also, I was playing.
I want gladiators back. God damn it.
Yeah, I was playing yesterday, and I was doing my world quests, and I was in war mode because I'm on a PvP server, and that seemed natural. And another paladin tried to gank me, and I don't remember how long it took for him to give up, but I laid on hands myself, and then the cooldown for lay on hands, which is 10 minutes, came back up, and I laid on hands myself again, and then he gave up and left. I mean, I just stopped for like 5 minutes and just stood there and just stood there and stopped attacking because I mean I was a paladin and he was a paladin and it's like I don't think we can kill each other. I just stopped attacking and he kept going for 5 minutes and I'm like okay, it's like okay, repentance, heal, okay, yeah, keep on going.
Right, yeah, I mean,
stun, heal, yeah, keep on going.
That's like two disciplined priests trying to kill each other. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
I mean, we were both DPS, the DPS specs, but still, with all of our defensive cooldowns, it was like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. Oh. Just go away.
Jim, if I could ever get Jim back onto the podcast, he could talk about a story. And like he was in Silithus farming some of the elite mobs down there with him and a friend. And they had one rogue that kept on trying to jump them and try to kill one of the people. So he would wait till people were down. And that was back when arms warriors had crazy, crazy overpower strikes.
Yeah.
And a rogue would suddenly go, I'm dodging, overpower to the face. Yeah. Jim would tell a good story about that.
No, I had I used to run one of the largest raiding guilds on my server, back in the classic and Burning Crusade era. Mm-hmm. And this was on Tichondrius, which was one of the biggest servers. Yeah. And I think our guild was the second largest Horde raiding guild.
Nice. Yeah.
And the guild fell apart, because the shaman class lead had an affair with the hunter class lead.
That sounds like awesome drama.
Yeah. I have told people after this, and it's like, you know, and it's like, your guild drama stories do not impress me because the shaman class lead was my wife at the time. In retrospect, the dude did me a favor, but still. This is your guild drama does not impress me.
All loot is not hunter loot. I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I know that was a thing in Classic that all loot was hunter loot. But. Oh, wow.
But yeah,
I think that's we have a podcast title.
Yeah, it's just hunter loot.
But yeah, people still telling me about their guild drama. It's like, no. And it's like, you, no. And it's
you
like,
win.
you don't understand.
I don't care anymore.
No. Yeah, no, I've been pretty much, I've been clean of guilds since BC. And I just been basically, I don't care about getting all the high-end stuff. I mean, like
only the pets.
Oh, pretty much only the pets.
Are there high-end pets? I know nothing about the pets.
There are high-end pets. There's some. Okay. There's one that's a really annoying encounter to get a pet that you have to... It's login. You have to go into a dungeon, receive a curse from... This is actually in Legion. You have to receive a curse in Legion and then complete the boss in there, then go into another dungeon and defeat bosses in there, refreshing the curse as it goes on, until it gets to the final boss where you have to kill it and then you get the achievement. It's a fucking insane achievement.
Well, and wasn't there a Lich King boss that you had to run like 400 times or something like that?
No, that was called to get invincible. Okay. That's the mount for the Lich King.
Got it.
And also Mirrodin's head that I had to run like 220 some times to get that fucking head.
I never got mine. I'm jealous of you still for that.
Arctic Circle says on chat, David wins. Wow. I mean, if you want to call that winning, sure. I mean, but
there's no other end game.
I got something so valuable out of WoW that very few people have, and that's a divorce. Mm-hmm. And that was as a good friend of mine that also got divorced around the same time told me, it's like, you know why divorces are so expensive? Because they're worth it.
You should go to we should go to BlizzCon, and you know when they're giving everybody their big stories of like how people met and they came together.
How has WoW touched your life?
You should tell this story of how WoW has affected your life. Yeah.
Also, you'd be at BlizzCon. Also, you'd be at BlizzCon.
Yeah. I want to go at least one BlizzCon, but War Machine Weekend keeps on making it the same fucking weekend. And
this is this year because I'm going to War Machine Weekend. I haven't paid any attention to BlizzCon.
Yeah, BlizzCon. I think it's the same. It's either that or it's the same weekend as Game Hole Con.
Yeah, it's either on War Machine Weekend or close enough to War Machine Weekend to make travel awkward.
Yeah,
it's actually been on the same weekend for multiple years. Mm-hmm. So I've got a friend that works over at Blizzard, and I've been trying. He plays War Machine. I've been trying to get him to come out to War Machine Weekend, he's an integral part of Blizzard, so he can't really make it. Sucks because War Machine Weekend is awesome.
War Machine Weekend is. I mean, fantastic.
I have to spend like $400 this year at War Machine Weekend.
No.
Oh, to get the rest of your Crucible Guard.
I need some trains like before the LCQ.
Yeah, I need need some people to drive down with them on the committee this year. I'm on the committee this year. You are too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been on the committee. Nobody pays attention to me.
Nobody pays. Yeah.
Everyone's all centered on War Machine. I'm just in the painting lounge, and nobody cares about the painting lounge, but us in the painting lounge.
That's true.
Actually, that's wrong.
Is the airbrush ban still in effect?
No, there really hasn't been an airbrush ban. God damn it.
I know, Andy. I know. I got to paint some trains.
Yeah, no, I can get you hooked up. Mm.
Without the buy four trains plan, that one was awful.
The buy four trains?
Yes. Because I also still would have to play through the entire LCQ, and then I need to painted trains if I make it all the way through.
So the alternative is to buy four trains, pay somebody to paint two of them while you're playing the LCQ.
Correct.
That works.
It's just awful because that's another $250.
I mean, you could probably flip those pretty quick with wherever.
Yeah, probably.
Why would you want to flip trains?
Well, you flip the unpainted ones from the LCQ.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Or the painted ones if you don't like the paint quality.
Yeah.
Either way.
I don't know. I think the better plan is just win games quickly and then go up to room and airbrush one color at a time.
Well, if you're playing McKay, those games should probably go pretty quickly.
Initial testing says yes.
Yeah. Every time I hear about this, it makes me not want to play War Machine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm saving up Thomas the Tank Engine jokes.
No,
our air conditioning just suddenly went out, but it is really hot.
Yes, right? It is.
It's warm. Yeah, it's toasty. You got four hairy dudes all together huddled in a little room. So
open the guy.
Don't open that. No, don't.
It'll make it worse.
I mean, it just rained very heavily.
It feels nicer.
Yeah,
I think.
And he steps away from the mic to breathe.
His head is sticking out the window currently.
It's kind of warm
outside. Arctic Circle trains are CG. Trains are the Crucible Guard battle engine, which are really fast and have like 500 guns on them.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
They shoot
like 500.
They're what, like four each? Something like
two
that?
Two spray 10s, a spray 8, and a AOE 4.
Yeah.
And a ram.
And a ram, yeah.
And a caster that shoots guns.
They have things that say infantry go away.
Yeah.
It's mostly also, casters that
and
go away.
Everything else goes away.
Yeah, they're not. And I mean, on McKay's feet turn, they're perfectly competent into heavies as well.
The list I was playing on Wednesday, I went first, and Steven had to back up bottom of one, so I couldn't charge him with something. Not some of his list.
Yeah.
So then I just removed a Dracodile, a Blindwalker, and a Cyclox Shaman.
You won the attrition game pretty quick. With that, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it turns out then he had nothing that could kill trains.
Sure.
I mean, it took another two turns because he then Morgul-feeded everything, so I just didn't do anything for a turn. But
I wonder if I can get... I don't know how I'm going to play against that. I'm just not.
No one really knows how they're going to play against it yet.
Yeah, but then you're playing a rich man's army, so that means I should be doing okay then. I probably don't play you in tournaments. I'll just only go to the tournaments that you run for us. Yeah.
so your attendance will be the same as it's been for the last year?
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, I was at a tournament recently.
I know. I keep on offering the run tournaments, but then they're events that Rick wants to run, so then I just don't run events.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick up a couple of trains, too. It seems too good.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty much literally in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Of style of gameplay.
It's also literally a wheelhouse.
Math?
Yes.
Yes.
Pure math.
I mean, I appreciate that there are two levels of pun there, because you know what a wheelhouse is.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. that was a really I appreciate that pun.
Do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't know. What ways do you have to give the trains magical guns?
Feet and Alice. Guidance.
Yeah.
And potentially an objective, because I might have no other reason to take it with mobility and two battle engines.
I mean, any of the other ones, yeah. Mm. Maybe the repair one?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, I mean, that's the standard for it, but,
yeah.
You know, if I have to kill two Wraith engines...
Exactly, and you can switch it up pre-game, right? But, I mean,
at that point, I'm
going to
feed on them anyway,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like, it's almost if you really care that much, because you're just going to be able to eliminate most of the infantry...
Correct. I mean, the problem is eventually I will randomly run into someone playing Gumburn and then just lose horrendously.
Yeah.
What is Gumburn? What?
His feat is magic and range attacks don't matter for a turn. They just flat out don't do damage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
It's been
a while since I played against Gumburn, and I was sitting there thinking, I was like, why does cover fucking matter with your shit?
Yeah, it's the second line of that feat, which is range attacks get fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you're just playing like a control caster into you as the assassin player, so you should be okay. You just need to make him
Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is Gunbjorn's Glacier King might actually be able to shoot McKay down.
That's fair.
I'll have to check out the numbers on Baldur 2, because Baldur 2 double world drafts may play well into that.
Yeah, but that's why I have a +2 to go first.
Yeah.
I'm a dick.
Yep.
All right.
Mm. All right, Andy, so scroll up.
We have questions. Zappity grumbles.
We have questions.
There wasn't that many. We haven't had many people chatting.
All right, Zappity, what fictional world would you like to visit on vacation? This is a fantastic question, because most of the fictional worlds we tend to focus on tend to be dystopian. So I'm going to go with Equestria.
The Land of Horses?
My
Little Pony Land?
I have children.
Are you talking about My Little Pony?
Yes.
That's actually, okay.
Yes. I have children, so I'm aware of this. So I'm going to say Equestria, because most of the fictional worlds we talk about are dystopian. Yeah, because I mean the Iron Kingdoms, it is like you are literally wondering, it's like which transdimensional entity is going to eat you first.
Well, and not exactly in the cities, though. But in the cities, it's basically...
I don't know. I've read the Iron Kingdoms RPG fiction. It's not much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're less likely, maybe.
Okay. So that's the thing. So that's the advantage of living in the cities in the Iron Kingdom, is that you are less likely to be eaten by a transdimensional entity.
Correct. And you just get regular mugged.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Yeah. At least I got my dignity.
Yeah. And so, I mean, then of course that's nothing compared to the 40K universe.
Just get effed.
Yeah. Just don't be a heretic.
Well, actually, no.
Just don't be seen.
Correct.
Pretty much.
No. Yeah. Actually, no. The answer to that is hope you land on Ultramar, not during the first Tyrannic Wars.
I mean, the 40K universe is so bad is that asking for a quick and painless death doesn't really help you.
Sure.
So yeah,
that's because painless doesn't exist in that.
Well,
universe.
painless doesn't exist, and then there are also those transdimensional entities that are waiting to eat your soul.
Oh, actually, I was wrong. Yeah, Ultramar not on the first during the first Tyrannic Wars or the Tau Empire are your like best two options.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Equestria, because every other one I can think of off the top of my head is pretty fucking dystopian.
I'd probably go with Middle Earth after like Sauron gets killed for the first time and live in that happy period where it's like just cool medieval times living before shit hits the fan.
No, isn't that when the halflings get raised?
No, like after like.
No, you're thinking after the second time.
Like the first time when Isildur cuts off his finger, and then it's like a couple thousand.
It's like a golden age.
Yeah, it's
for
a golden age
years.
Of like happiness and cool stuff. So that's my time.
I'm still thinking.
Damn it. I'm still thinking, too. I was thinking like I live in the happy times of Mark II CID, where we had Terminus with the actual Lich King powers, where he had pitch on his weapon.
He still is. You're thinking Mark II field test.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Okay. Mark II field test was probably...
Does that mean I get to play a Mark II field test Calandra?
Probably not.
Come on, it's fine. Befuddle was a model unit effect, and her feat was reroll until you stop getting ones or twos.
Oh, my God.
So the story for that one is Chad down in Iowa once had a situation where he feated. He befuddled an entire unit into a U-shape, walked an axer into it, threshered it, and killed the entire unit with no dice needing to be rolled because every roll required a six or less.
Fair and balanced.
There's a reason that version of Calandra made it all of a week.
I was going to say, yeah. the Terminus was also amazing, too. So like I said, his weapon had pitch, and he also
His weapon had pitch?
Yeah,
not his gimp hand?
No, his weapon had pitch. So if you remember that sequence in Lord of the Rings, when you see Sauron walking through the, swathing through the people, and they just go flying, because he also had,
he had the spell.
He had the Berserk spell, too, yeah.
It wasn't Berserk. He would basically hit everything in his melee.
Oh, he had like a thresher?
Yeah, he had thresher on his weapon. So he would just literally go in.
Oh, wait, did he have that silly thing Shay had in Mark II? Where it was just every attack hits the entire arc?
I don't think it was that, no.
Okay.
No.
Because that one was also dumb.
But actual fantasy world? Yeah, everything I'm thinking of is all dystopian. Like Thundar the Barbarian world, that's... No, I like the moon the way it is. I don't want it to explode. C-Lab 2021. I would want to live. I would want to be on C-Lab. Preferably not one of the pods that randomly explode.
I mean,
but the whole base explodes.
Hey, come on, this is a vacation.
2021, the original one or the Adult Swim remake?
The Adult Swim remake.
That's okay.
2021.
This is just a vacation. Come with me to Equestria. We'll survive.
That's like when the first time you hit the happy land in Diablo 3, and you're like, what the hell just happened?
God, yeah. I remember farming forever for that fucking staff.
Yeah.
And then you finally getting that staff.
And you're like, the fuck just happened?
Fucking teddy bears are trying to kill me. What the fuck?
My favorite thing is for that is when you're doing adventure mode, there's a legendary dungeon, which is the clean version of that, and then like the possessed version of that is level 2.
Oh, sure, sure.
Vacation.
The Dead or Alive universe might be okay.
I mean,
the beach volleyball version or just the regular
version?
Yeah,
the beach volleyball version, yes.
You know, the other thing about it, if it's just for a vacation, multiple more options arise because, yeah, there's a lot of dystopian stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that looks fine on the surface, and then once you start digging into it, it's really terrible. But if you're in there on vacation, let's face it, we're Americans. We're not going to dig into it.
hold on. I want to be in the National Treasure universe. That's it. That's the place I want to go.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Nick Cage is hurt up for money. We can probably just do that for like 10 grand.
Oh, so I
you heard it here first. Andy is going to pay for Nick Cage to be on the podcast.
That'd be awesome.
That would be. I mean,
that would be
holy
impossible.
Shit.
I think we would have a better chance of getting Bill Pullman on the podcast. He's still alive. It's the other one that's dead.
Thank you. You knew exactly where I was going.
Yeah. We were talking about National Treasure. Any of you guys remember the show In Search Of?
No. Yeah.
It was repeats on the History Channel, but it's an early show from the 80s or so that would basically have Leonard Nimoy, and they would do things like In Search of Loch Ness, and they'd be going out and looking for the Loch Ness Monster for an episode.
Because as it turns out, everything sounds more serious than it is when Leonard Nimoy is narrating it.
Yeah, hold that thought. Actually, that's an important part of the story.
Yeah. We talked about this on the podcast, I think, like a couple weeks ago. Or
I mean, none of us remember that.
Nobody remembers
that. This is a good story.
But so they rebooted In Search Of with Zachary Quinto. So it's Spock again.
No.
And I just watched it. They're trying very hard for World's Mysteries now. And I just got done watching the last one, which was about sinkholes. And
oh, fuck. That's not a mystery.
Yeah. It's not come a fucking middle. Mystery. Come it's the Middleton. Water.
Well, yeah. Come to Middleton. I'll show you one.
Yeah. It's fucking water. Water causes sinkholes. And water erodes shit underground. We can't see it. And eventually what happens is the earth above it gives way. And where the wall eroded it, water eroded everything? No, there's a fucking hole. That's how sinkholes work. They're trying to link it to fucking Bible things. You know, the sinkholes are caused by people that do bad things. And like, no!
I mean,
that's not how these work.
Technically, well, yes.
Yes, civil engineers.
Yes.
Correct, sir. But yeah, it was a very grasping at straws episode of... It was very cool seeing all the footage of sinkholes and stuff like that, but you know, the episode. I mean, is very
that reminds me though of a friend of mine that said her was a civil engineer and said her job was to keep the city of Cleveland from exploding, and because she worked.
Why?
And I said you know it's like A, that must be a difficult job, and B, what sense of satisfaction do you have that your only accomplishment is Cleveland still exists?
Why is it? You're gonna defend the Browns, I guess. I don't know. I love how everyone just shuts up when I start looking at something.
I was reading that. That was a very interesting comment.
Oh. All right.
There was another Zappity Grumble one.
Yeah. Well, I was going back up to it, and then you mentioned about it.
I know, but I wanted to finish reading the long comment about the average My Little Pony fan. So.
I don't know where it is.
Too far. It's up there.
Also, when you're talking about the average My Little Pony fan, you realize that the average My Little Pony fan is 6, right?
You mean 22?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, the average gets horrendously skewed.
The average age is getting... is up
well,
there,
or at least the mean age gets horrendously skewed.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's nice that they make cartoons like that adults can actually watch. I mean, like some of the trash that I've seen Aurora watch... Mm-hmm. Is just trash, but something like, you know, like...
I have complained about My Little Pony because I had kids that were watching My Little Pony and Phineas and Ferb at the same time, and I was like, Phineas and Ferb is actually intelligently written. And I was like, why are all these people obsessed about My Little Pony when Phineas and Ferb is much better?
So where was the other one?
It's right here. Zappity, what evil empire would you want to rule?
I would want to, but the person that currently rules it would not let me. But I'd like to rule Latveria. I'd like to be second only to the Sorcerer Supreme, which is not a lot of people know about.
So this is the big question.
He's second to the Sorcerer Supreme himself.
So this is the other question, is that you have to be careful in picking an evil empire because anything delineated as an evil empire is almost done so after the evil ruler of the evil empire is murdered in horrendous fashion.
Yeah, you don't want to get Gaddafi'd.
Yeah, so you got to... are we talking about
Actually, I'm going to let you finish, but I'm just going to call dibs on America right now.
Fuck you. That was my answer.
That's my answer too, man. But I mean, are we talking about mustache twirlingly evil or
low-key
evil?
Yeah.
It works for everything.
No, Latveria would be fine. People in Latveria love Latveria.
Do they have a choice?
Exactly. I also like Baron Underbite's world, which is basically Latveria. But I have yet to watch any of the new Venture Brothers, so I don't know if Baron he exists anymore.
Okay, we pick how evil, so we can pick like low key evil and not not
low key as in the god of mischief evil,
yeah,
because it's just mischief then. Oh, it's like shenanigans.
Yeah,
they're just, you know, cheeky and fun, not cruel, like shenanigans.
The evil shenanigans.
Evil shenanigans. Somebody should pistol whip the next person who says shenanigans.
I have a different answer than America. The crazy game world in Thor Ragnarok, I can't remember what it is. Goldblum is like running or whatever. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, I like how it is actually just Jeff Goldblum, not actually not a character in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah,
it's just Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Play that role.
Beta Ray Bill is in it. It's amazing.
Oh, yes. He has a big statue.
Yep.
Every answer I've come up with, I've realized was just saying I'd say a troll, Nathan, so I'm still working on it.
Well, would you make an app that, so when you click on links in that app, it takes you to a forum that you're not logged in, even though you've logged into that forum before?
So annoying.
Sounds evil.
It is pretty evil. Mm-hmm. It was pretty evil. It was kind of funny.
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah, I'll pick Amazon.
There we go.
Strong.
The website?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to live in the website?
No.
It's an evil empire. I'll go ahead and take Google then because Google at least doesn't have Google does all sorts of low key evil things.
At least we're not picking Oracle.
Yeah, but unlike Amazon, Google doesn't like tend to work warehouse employees to death. So I'll take that instead.
That you know of,
but they're only your petty employees. Who cares?
Exactly. They gotta get that shit sorted and out. I still like my idea of Latveria because then there'll be a bunch of Andy Doombots.
Yeah.
Running around.
Yeah, I'll sell you them from Amazon.
Yeah.
And they'll probably be running Android.
We should look into this about getting one of those pallets.
I'm really not one to talk about reluctance to working for evil like that because my day job for 4 years was researching artificial intelligence to run drones for the Defense Department, which means my willingness to do this means that the field of science fiction as a whole has failed. we've literally had a meeting with the Department of Defense guy that was saying, you know what would be really cool is if you could demonstrate your technology by using the AI to automatically generate the autopilot for a drone. Because we had joked before that what we were building was Skynet, and then after that meeting we're like, wait, so you guys want us to build Skynet?
So there is a thing that you can get. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this before in a podcast because I saw it on a podcast and they actually got a pallet.
Wait, hold on. What? You saw it on a podcast?
I did. It's a video cast, same similar as what we did too, but they call it a podcast. But it's Amazon return pallets. So you could buy a pallet that just has everything that people have returned back to Amazon for in bad purchases or
and
whatever
it was. Back to loot boxes.
Yeah. This amazing big loot box.
Like, what's the price for a
pallet? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at it.
Read faster, Andy.
Yeah. I
just search for the dollar sign.
There is no...
Like, control F, dollar sign.
There's no dollar sign on it.
No. Goddamn ads.
It's 102 in the ads part. Oh, my God. All right.
What the hell actually, don't answer what you clicked on.
I clicked the X. Generally, I don't click anything. My computer has been virus-free since I got it.
Mm. That's impressive.
Yeah. I don't click on stupid shit.
Just wow and record.
Pretty much wow and record. And yeah, pretty much it.
That's bad enough.
Yeah. So there's no more Zappity Grumbles. So we go to recommendations. My recommendation is that you should go and worship your Lord and Savior, Dead Cells. Loaded for whatever device that you need. It is available for everything. It has been in... Is it Steam Greenlight? Or
I think it's the actual version of it. Yeah, it was beta for forever. Yeah,
it was around for a very long time in development in Steam, but it just got released earlier this month. It is fucking amazing.
On a similar level, I will recommend Hollow Knight, which I also played on Switch, which is also a Metroidvania. It is not a roguelike Metroidvania, but it is a very good Metroidvania game.
I'll play it for a moment downstairs, and you should check it out. You probably would be like, go and buy it immediately on the Switch. It's $20 on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So even then, it's a great price point for all systems, $20-$25 or something like that. I am very glad I haven't been able to look in to see how many hours I put into the game, but I most definitely put a lot of hours into that game.
I believe the answer is all of the hours.
All the hours.
No.
I guess I will recommend Jacob's Ladder. I've never seen it prior to like a couple weeks ago, and movie's pretty freaking good.
Is that Coen Brothers?
Or
is
I don't know who made it, but yeah, it's with Tim Robbins, starring him or whatever. It's pretty much just like him. Yep. It's like this really cool like portrayal of like PTSD in like a way, but it's not because I'm not gonna spoil anything. So, but no, it's really awesome. It's really like trippy, a lot of cool stuff in there. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. So, go see that. I think it's like streaming on Hulu or Netflix, one of those. So free for everyone. Hmm. Yeah, it's old.
Yeah, and it's being remade next year.
What? No. Why? No. Let the classics be, man. Darn it. Why? You just ruined it.
All right.
Monster.
So, my recommendation. So, Vampire the Masquerade, classic role-playing game setting. Is just coming out with a new 5th edition. Like, the books are supposed to be shipping any day now. Ooh. But they've also been sending out PDFs if you buy it online. So, you can get PDF a little bit early. And so, information is starting to leak out on that one, and it's looking really good. So I guess it's
cool.
Somewhat of a pre-recommendation because I don't have a physical copy of it yet, but it's looking really good.
Is it still D10 based?
Yep. Okay, they've cool. flattened it out a bit, so now it's just 1-5 is a failure, 6-10 is a success.
Okay, that's a lot easier then.
Yeah, and then you're modifying the number of dice you have.
Okay.
So it's that, and then the other simplification they've done is instead of the blood point system, which could get cumbersome,
yeah,
you just have a hunger scale. I think it's 1-5, and that adds... figure out what your dice pool is, then you replace whatever hunger level you're at, those many dice with red dice. And okay, then cool. you still roll all of them, and then if you crit succeed or crit fail because of the red dice, interesting shit happens.
All right, nice.
So it's a much simpler system while still having a lot of the same flavor of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice. Let's
and then the other thing that's really cool about it is they've explicitly advanced the storyline. So the old classic World of Darkness stuff basically ended by like shit getting real, and they've rolled with that and said, you know, shit did get real. The world didn't end like everyone thought it would, but, you know, there's a second Inquisition, so humans are starting to fight back. I'm trying to think what else. It's also just really weird reading through some of the stuff in there because, you know, the book is published in 2018, so you read through and I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't that just like last year? What the hell is going on? Which just shows how much I've been in TSR books from the 80s lately.
Sure. It wasn't TSR that did Werewolf.
Well, White correct, Wolf. But I mean other, like, I have found, like, 80s era TSR, like, just the print and the font they use to be strangely relaxing.
Sure.
So I'll just break out, like, old second edition Gamma World books and read them.
Oh, okay.
Just because,
okay.
Sure, like, the layout just is calming to me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There is something about the source books from back then. Mm-hmm. The artwork in them have just
it's just that so style good. Of it, like I said, for whatever reason, is just extremely calming.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Cool. All right. Everyone had one? Yes.
Yep.
Dead Cells. Yeah. 2 video games, an RPG, and a movie.
Yep.
Dead Cells. Should watch Dead Cells and play Dead Cells.
But Andy, you got to pin a whole bunch of shit for me.
I could. Or I could play Dead Cells.
That's true. I mean, I didn't bring most Dead Cells. Of it. So.
Yeah. You're probably just going to play Dead Cells. Sorry to end it.
I know.
I thought I was going to watch movies on the way back from flying. I'm flying on the way back.
Fool.
I didn't watch any movies. I played Dead Cells.
Maybe I need to get a Switch. We have a Switch, but it's really my wife's.
Yeah, so you need a second Switch.
You need a second Switch, and you need 2 copies of Dead Cells, and you both can veg on the couch and play Dead Cells.
Okay.
One could be playing it in the charger on the television, one could be playing it remotely, and then when the one person that's playing it remotely gets it, you know, loses battery power, you can switch. Yeah, I made that joke.
Oh, is that why it's called that?
Yeah. Ah. Stop poking at me. All right, thanks, guys, for watching.
Hi, everyone.
What?
No.
Yeah, it's awesome. I like it's awesome stuff.
Andy likes stuff.
I like toys. I wish I got my Forbidden Fortress stuff from Shadows of Brimstone, but I didn't get that yet. But I got all my Sentinel shit, and that box is huge.
It's big.
Like all Ogre build?
Like
Ogre big?
Yes. the collector's huge. Box is fucking huge. It's way too big for what it is. All right, thanks guys for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.